We have a Bible study page in Romans chapter 15. And the title of our day, and then on our sermon this morning, is Partners in Prayer. And I'm late to the sermon based on the things that have happened with students over this semester. Some of them have fallen ill, some of them talk about dropping out. And it's very important for us to be able to say this, and I'm going to partner with somebody and pray. We are sometimes, why do we pray? Somebody said, we normally think around, we pray for God's protection, we sometimes pray for God's approval. Sometimes, most times, we pray for God's mercy and grace. And we also pray for God's fullness of God's joy in our lives. Most times, we pray for thanksgiving for what God has done for us. But there's also in Philippians, we pray for freedom from anxiety and uncertainty, and to get God's understanding in our situation. So, pray is so vital. And Paul uses this towards the end of chapter 15, before he goes through the catalogue in chapter 16, where he does various greetings, and he gives this catalogue of people, of different people involved in, as workers, as laborers. I always use chapter 16 when I preach from chapter 16. The woman, the wise, the wealthy, the workers. And when I deal with that chapter, I don't go through those. But in chapter 15, when it comes to the end of chapter 15, he prays and asks and urges the church to pray for him. And when we pray for one another, God does miraculous things in our lives. So let's read the verses, and I will go through the verses. I will give you three areas of consideration this morning. But let's look at Romans chapter 15, verse 30. It says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I might be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with the joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. The God of the peace bless you to the reading of the word. D.L. Moody made a statement, and he said the men mightiest in the pulpit are the men who are most times on their knees. And I'm paraphrasing. He was the president of the Moody Bible Institute, and he saw the importance of prayer. Ian Bound, that we know, we read Ian Bound so many times, and other writers, and prayer is a very, very important part in our Christian walk. And I'm urging you as we pray for our exams, that we start praying for one another, that the Lord will sustain us, that He will be with us, and that He will guide us. And when Paul comes to this particular passage in Romans 15, there are three areas that I want to consider this morning. The first area I want to consider is that we agonize in prayer. The second area is to ask. And the third area is to answer. So the three A's, I always alliterate it just for people to get an understanding, and so that people can follow quite closely. But when he says in verses 30, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. The word praying, joining in my struggle, has the idea in the Greek text of the word to agonize. And when he speaks about agonizing, there's another word in the English language means to strive together. And he's asking the church, would you come together and agonize, will you pray with me because of the great danger, not only that I face, but that I might be released from my situation. And pray partners this morning, as we think about the book of Dr. Luke in The first chapter, when he speaks about partners in prayer in the boat experience, here we have Paul is asking the believers to come along and to agonize in prayer with him. And the word to agonize is to be together with me in my prayer, in my struggles, in my difficulties. And sometimes when we have a prayer partner, we have those who help us fight the adversity. We have those who pray with us, help us fight, and help us through our difficulties. And Paul is asking him, and he's pleading with him. And there are two words that I normally use when I use the word agonizing. It's intensely personal. He says, pray for me. But it's intentionally active. Join in me, in my prayer. And I want to say to you this morning that unless we join partners, we are partners in prayer, the effect of prayer will be minimized if we don't allow others to come alongside. And Paul is urging the church to do just that. I usually illustrate this with the mud pit. We have this mud pit, and we've got team building, and we have this mud pit where the guy right in front pulling the rope, but there's those behind at the back, the less stronger individuals. But they help pull that rope, and at the end of the day, the success is achieved by those pulling the rope. And the question is asked this morning, will you partner in prayer with somebody? Identify an individual in your church, in your home, in your family, and say, I will partner with you, pray for you. Whenever I'm in the pulpit or whenever I'm involved in ministry, I know my wife sits there and she prays for me. And then after the service, she would come to me and we would engage and look at certain aspects that needs brushing up or certain aspects that needs changing. But there's a partner in prayer. And I'm going to read a few verses just to give an idea of this agonizing in prayer with one another. It's found in Colossians, and Paul references this as cross-reference in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. I don't have to turn to it, I'll just read it. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. And when Paul references this particular passage in Colossians 4, verse 2, he refers to Epaphras doing a few things. He says, first of all, he's a servant of Jesus Christ. Your partner in prayer should be somebody connected to the relationship of Jesus Christ, a person who's known Christ in a personal way. And I think that's very important. But he uses the word in Colossians 4 as well. He's always wrestling with you in prayer. And that means to agonize, to come alongside somebody and just to pray with that person. In our family, for this past year, we've lost 4 individuals. From the month of January up to the month of September, we've lost 4 individuals. And the people who are hurting the most are the ones we have come alongside to agonize and to pray with them. And look what Epaphras does. He says, he's wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm. I want to say to you this morning that when we have those people who come alongside to agonize with us, who strive together with us in prayer, you'll be able to stand firm. The second thing he uses that is very important, that we are in mature and fully assured. And through praying for one another, it's very important for us to come to that understanding that we need to agonize with one another, need to strive with one another in prayer. And as that mud pit and the person pulling the rope and you at the back, you are partnering with that person in prayer. But the flip side of that is found in Isaiah 64, verse 7, it says, no one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and you've made us away, and you've made us waste away because of our sin. Sometimes when we agonize and people is praying, the Bible speaks about our Lord hiding his face away from us because of our sin problem. And I want to say to you, you can pray as much as you want to, but if we don't move away from our sin problem, God cannot answer. And so when Paul writes to the church, he says to them, please agonize, please come alongside, please pray with me in prayer, so that I might be firm, mature, and fully assured of the presence of the living God. And I want to say to all of us this morning, it's necessary for us to agonize with one another. The question that I normally leave at point number one is, who are you pulling the rope with? Who are you pulling the rope with? Identify an individual and then use that as an opportunity to agonize. The second thing that he says is not only to agonize but to ask. Verse 31 says, pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. There are twofold requests that Paul is making here in terms of the ask. The one is very personal, that I might be rescued. And the second one is that the advancement of the gospel. So that is the personal aspect is that he might be rescued, and the humbling aspect is that he might be assisted in terms of the release so that he could further the gospel or the advancement of the gospel. Look what he says, pray that I might be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem might be acceptable. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, and he references back to Colossians, he says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. What is that he's saying here when he asks this request or makes this request? He's simply saying, I need an open door, and only when you come alongside and pray with me and we ask, so that the advancement of the gospel might be further. But he uses the word in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25, which says, pray for us. And in the original text, it simply means to come to one's aid. And Paul is simply saying, as you pray for me, God will open the door. But there's also another problem that Paul faces in this particular passage. The first part of verse 31 says, pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. The first thing that he's saying here is that I may be rescued from unbelievers. 2 Thessalonians is a cross-reference to this. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we will be delivered from the wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But sometimes in our experience, in our ministry and the ones that we engage with in terms of contact on a daily basis, not everyone has faith. And Paul is saying they are wicked and evil men. And pray that I might be delivered from them, so that I will be able not only to be delivered, but that the advancement of the gospel might take place. And he uses very pertinently this, he says in verse 31, and that my service in Jerusalem will be acceptable to the saints. So he compares the two, and there's a comparison between two individuals, those who are wicked and those who are saints. And he says, I want to be released, to be delivered, not only from my bonds, but from those evil and wicked men, but at the same time, that my service, my service for the Lord in the advancement of the gospel might be for the betterment of the saints. And so the asking this morning that Paul is asking, I think, is clear in the light that The situation he finds himself in is that God will come alongside through their prayers to be delivered. But when you read the further and look at one or two commentaries, and one of the things that was brought out that was very pertinent here is that it's not the people who are doing the delivering, but through their prayers, God does the delivering. And Paul echoes that, and he uses the word, "I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit." And it's only through the movement of the Spirit and the love of God that you will be able to be delivered. And so when we ask God in our prayers, we do that with the idea that although we might find ourselves in difficulties, and Paul may recognize that, and he calls upon the believers to assist him, to be rescued, he only realizes, and he wants to make the saints aware that deliverance comes from God alone. The third area of consideration this morning is not only the idea of asking, the idea of agonizing, but the third area is the idea of answer to prayer. Look what he says in verse 32. "So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed." The two words in this particular verse, or the two ideas that in this particular verse that is very important, is God's will in the answer of God's prayer, and the second one is that I might be refreshed. I just want to focus first of all on the will of God in everything that we do. Acts chapter 20 verse 24 says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." When Paul considers the will of God is confined to a particular task, and what is that task? Is to preach the word of God and to be released from the chains that he finds himself in, both from unbelievers and those who are blocking the testimony of the Lord. And in Acts chapter 20 verse 23 says the verse before, "I know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me." And he understood these circumstances. But when he comes to verse 24, he says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing, if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of Christ." And this is his request here. And he says, when I ask God to answer the prayer, he says, it must always be in line with the will of God. We normally use this as a catchphrase in churches. God will answer yes, he will answer no, he will answer wait. I want to just rephrase that and simply say that if God answers, it will be in his time. And Paul understood this. And in his circumstances, he says, whatever the circumstances I find myself in, that it might be like the will of God, that I will be able to join him. The second thing that he does there is very important. He says, that I might be refreshed. I think through all the pain and struggles that Paul had gone through, and through all the difficulties that he's gone through, although he wants everything to be aligned to the will of God, he also needed the support of the other saints at home. "And so I want to come to you so that I may be refreshed." Somebody put it this way: not only materially be refreshed, but spiritually and in fellowship with other believers. In our prayer, in our answer to prayer, God says whatever we pray for and how we pray must always be in line to his will. But Paul is also saying that I have that time of refreshment and aligning with the will of God. I want to conclude this morning and ask three questions. The first question is that, have you identified somebody in your family, in the church, in the people that you have contact with at college? And are you agonizing with them in prayer? We have very serious challenges in our own family right now as I speak. And there are some of our families that have actually thought about suicide or have suicidal tendencies. But only when I come alongside and I agonize, my wife and I have taken the point that we will visit our families first. This is good to be in the service of the Lord, it's good to serve people. But we need to come alongside those that are hurting. Question is asked, who are you putting the rope with? Who are you agonizing with this morning? And who are you striving together with this morning? Who are you coming alongside and assisting? Second question is, what is your request in terms of prayer? Paul is very specific about this prayer. He's asking the church to pray that he might be delivered. Delivered from evil people. Evil men, be rescued so that the advancement of the gospel can take place. Let's be very specific on how we pray. But when it comes to the answer of prayer, let it be in line with the will of God. And when you pray, the question is, do you pray with the understanding that God will answer and respond in his own time, and as he sees God. He's a sovereign God, he is in control of our lives, and sometimes the things become painful, but allow God to answer your prayer as you align your will to his will, and allow him to take charge. Let the Lord have his blessing to his will.
Lord, thank you that we are here today and we gather together and be part of the session, be part of it. It's more than just a college, but more than just students. We've become friends and you can free us. And as we hear your word today and we hear the message that you have given to us through Charles, we walk alongside you.